Award. I'm Heather Gray, Vice Chair with Richard Uzel, Secretary, and the Board. Mr. Secretary, would you call?
Okay.
I can't hear you. There is a meeting starting.
Okay, Mona J.
I'm sorry,
Mona J.
Let me make.
Y'all need to be quiet.
Richard, a couple of other comments here. This is a special meeting on January the 20th, 2014.
We have bad connection.
We were beginning the meeting at 8:48 my time here in Atlanta, so Eastern time. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay. Edward Seeker. I think he may still be the country. Rosenberg.
Here.
Thank you. Siegel.
Siegel's not on board.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Wilkinson. Can't hear you, Margie.
Margie
said she wouldn't be here tonight.
What was that?
Margie said she wouldn't be on the call tonight, so I presume she wants an excused absence.
Okay. Diaz. Can't hear you, Benito. King. Can't hear you, Lucette. Norman.
Present.
Thank you. Stitt. Brazan. Hey, Lydia. Crump Show.
Present.
Thank you. Medina. Can't hear you, Brenda. Reese.
Present.
Thank you. Alan.
Alan is present.
Thank you. Polinar. Can't hear you, Jessica. Hitchell. Can't hear you, Nancy. Uzel here. Burton.
I'm present.
Thank you. Coleman.
Here.
Thank you. Roberts. Can't hear you, Serene. Sava. Can't hear you, Monage. Gray. Thank you. Lane Ewart.
Here.
Thank you. I think Monage is there. Monage, are you there? I can't hear you.
She was here just a minute ago.
Present.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay,
yes.
I got you, Monage.
Okay.
Okay, Matt, you have 11 people in attendance.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask for someone to please offer a motion to approve the agenda.
This is Teresa. I move that we, wait a minute, I have a question. I would like the agenda to be the budgets, and then the handbook, and then the bylaws amendment.
I would second that.
Do we have to approve it first before we amend it?
In other words, we don't have enough votes anyway to pass anything on the amendments, correct?
Unless
yes, we do.
Yes.
We do?
We
absolutely do. Yes, we do.
Yes, we
do. So you are you moving to change the agenda then? Is that correct?
I unsecond then. I don't know.
Okay, okay,
I
withdraw that. Just ignore that suggestion then. Thank you.
Could we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Teresa Allen, I move we approve the agenda.
Is there a second? Are there any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved, so we're going to move forward to the budget, and I'm going to ask for Tracy to please make the presentation.
So you need me for that. Okay, hi.
I do. Yeah.
And just, okay,
just as a point of personal privilege, someone has squeaky stuff going on in the background. So it would be cool if people could mute if they're not talking. And then we all won't get a headache. Okay. So we have three budgets to look at. One of them is the Pacifica Radio Archives budget. The second is the National Office budget. And the third budget, which will be pro forma, is the consolidated budget, which is simply the accumulated totals of the seven divisional budgets that we will have passed to date. The consolidated budget really can't be changed because we've approved all of the numbers that go into it, but we do have to do a pro forma vote to approve the consolidated budget, since that is the 501c3's overall budget, and the rest of these are just basically sub-budgets. So just to make that clear. So I think we'll start with the Pacifica Radio Archives budget. You should have all received this document several times, but I'll just sort of go over and summarize a bit. As we all know, the Pacifica Radio Archives is primarily funded by an annual archives fundraiser that we do nationally, by grants that they receive, and they recently received a $128,000 grant, which was exciting news, by a 2.5% shared services allocation from all five stations. So when we were looking at their 2014 budget, part of the challenges that it presented was that there was a need for to demonstrate matching funds for the $128,000 grant that they received. So we had to put out some fairly ambitious development goals for the archives. And when you look at that budget, you will see a very large anticipated surplus, much larger than certainly any other divisional budget that you look at. And the reason for that surplus is basically to account for the amplified development that's going to accompany that grant and those efforts, and also to provide for a bit of a cushion if some of the development efforts don't go off as presented, so they can still cover their expenses and still meet their obligations to the National Archives. So basically, the budget for the archives total revenue is $568,000. It was to be hoped that $352,000 would come in from the archives fundraiser in November and December. I can say at this point that the national fundraiser for the archives did well. It didn't do entirely as well as we were hoping. So there is currently about a $20,000 to $25,000 shortfall between what we were hoping to get out of that national fund drive and what we actually got. But again, that's the reason for the surplus in the budget. So we were hoping for $352,000 in listener support for the archives. In August 2014, there will also be some listener income for the archives. We are working on and have been doing direct mail, specifically with an idea of supporting the archives, and those efforts will be getting underway shortly. And we do have some small amount of sales to stations and sales outside of stations that are in the budget, and we're looking at about $75,000 total income there. The grant money will be coming in over a period of this year and next year. So we've allocated in the budget the grant funds that we are expecting to be usable in the 2014 budget year. The expenses for the archives are largely personnel and include the staff who perform the work of doing the archives. Those expenses are anticipated at $432,000. In addition to that, we have administrative expenses of $62,000. Program expenses of $79,000, development expenses of $79,000, which are partially accounting for some of the costs of doing more development, and community event expenses of $6,500 for a grand total of $661,000 in expenses. The gap between the revenue that the archives expect to be able to raise in support of their program and their expenses will be paid by the 2.5% in shared services income, which, if everything goes well, will be about $239,000. So that's where we are. We are hoping to invest a bit in improving some of the archives department computers. There's a $15,000 capital expense budgeted for that that will again be pending cash flow and pending meeting revenue goals over the course of the year. In theory, some of those purchases were going to go forward in January of 2014. I expect that will probably move back. So that's the archives budget. Are there any questions?
How many are employed by the archives, and how many are currently on full or fully present working?
Good question. Yeah, I would. Go for it.
Hold on. Seven.
Yeah, that's about the number that I would have guessed.
They're all.
There's a bookkeeper. There's Brian Teixeira, and basically there's five archivists.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those positions are largely grant funded.
And Mark Torres is the second. Is the seventh?
Mark Torres does production. Edgar does production.
Right.
Shop.
Okay. Okay.
So then there's two credentialed archivists.
Okay.
And for the record, we still have central services issues for the archives from the two East Coast stations, just like an actual office. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that is what it is.
Again, the large surplus showing over expenses was meant to kind of to the extent that we could. But they certainly projected far less expenses than you would with 100% shared services contributions. As a pay-in to realism.
Could I have a may I ask a question?
Yes, sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I have two questions, actually. Number one, I have a question. Is Brian DeShazer, the head of the archives, is he happy with this budget?
Yes, Brian DeShazer presented this budget.
Okay.
It was done in collaboration with the executive director and the CFO.
Okay.
Brian was present with the finance committee during the presentation of the budget, and he spoke to it at great length. And yes, he was satisfied.
Okay. Second question is, is there a plan for the East Coast stations to start paying central services fees? And is the reason why they haven't paid central services fees because of lack of CPB money?
CPB money does not pay shared services fees. That's not what it's for, Teresa.
Thank you, Tracy.
That's all I needed to know.
Tremendous confusion at Washington, D.C. in particular, which I will tend to clarify for them this week with the people who are
let me just sort of, briefly touch on the scenario of shared services and the archives. Brian DeShazer has come to the Finance Committee several times expressing some distress over the large accumulated non-payment that he believed was the case, and he brought spreadsheets with him for WBAI and WPFW, and the numbers were rather large, and the numbers basically span the 2010, 2011, 2012 period. And we listened, and we talked a little bit about some things that we hoped would address that sort of going forward. But the question of sort of large unpaid balances from previous years was not a scenario that we could quickly or instantly solve. So what we attempted to do in this budget was to plan for the potentiality of not 100% payment of shared services and not run up the archives expenses beyond what they were likely to receive, and that did involve some commitment on his part to doing increased development work on behalf of the archives, but we really felt that long-term that was important. So I think that we all went through a process of what's realistic, what can we do, and how can we best protect the archives so they can thrive. I don't think, you know, there's easy answers to that, but I do think that we talked about it honestly, and we tried to construct the best budget that we could under the circumstances.
Tony Norman for the staff.
Janet for the staff.
No. Yes, Tony and then Janet. Tony, okay. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that it's true that WPFW in particular hadn't paid some of the central services, but also we haven't received our CPB funds for 3 years, and we would like to know where those funds went and where were they allocated before we can settle what WPFW does owe. But we have yet, if people keep promising me this report, but I've yet to see where the CPB funds that we were entitled to this year and the last 2 years, where did it go, and if it paid our bills, what bills, because we had not received any report.
Yes, you can. Let me just say something, which is this is kind of outside the parameters of the archives budget. It's a larger conversation, and I don't want the archives budget to get stuck in this particular
place. A point of information, the reason we got on this subject is because they're saying because WPFW hadn't paid its percentage of central services, that's why the archives is running in a deficit. So they're essentially blaming BAI and WPFW for the archives deficit. So it is relevant when they raise that issue.
I'm going to let Summer address this since she asked you. Yes, go ahead.
Well, there's been a flurry of emails in the last 2 days. Apparently, the interim general manager is not aware what CPB funds are for, and the treasurer has now also written to me. Let me be perfectly clear. CPB funds never pay central services. The national office does not keep CPB funds for central services. I cannot speak to the year before I was here, but as for last year and this year, when CPB funds are retained by the national office, it is not for central services. It's to cover bill drafts that have not been paid by the state for either their health care benefits or salary. PFW was in the habit of not paying for its own health insurance, which is part of its operational expenses. That has happened again very recently, where, in fact, PFW did not fund its health insurance. So when the national office has retained the funds from BAI or from PFW, it directly cover expenses for that station that have been covered by the national office, which is entirely separate from central services, which cover things like auditors, accountants, payroll services, and all of the shared services. That's why they're called shared services. So the only time CPB funds have been kept is to cover something which is not a shared service, but which is supposed to be paid by the station, which the station is failing to pay. PFW and BAI do not pay their central services. We have two stations which do not contribute to the shared expenses of the network that the other three stations do pay, and that is both for the archives and for the national office. So hopefully these things will not get conflated again, and I will certainly support that we get a report of what's happened since I've been here dealing with PFW, CPB, and Buildback. That matter of central services, again, is totally separate. The stations simply do not pay.
Tony, point of information.
I think there's actually someone else on the staff.
We have Janet. We have Janet.
On the stack. And I have a question.
Point of information, it's not a stack.
Yes, I know. But please, your point of information, Tony. Go ahead.
The question to some executive director, as she has stated, I would like to know when we're going to get a written report since she alleged she paid WPFW money for insurance and all these other things. We'd like that in writing in a written report. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, back on the subject.
So, Janet, go ahead.
Yeah, WBAI, while it is very short in money assets, has enormous assets in intellectual property. It has no home. As we know, we're a floating island here, but we have storage rooms full of intellectual property that were not taken with by Brian DeShazer when he came to the station before the move to, from 120 Wall Street to nowhere. So we have several storage rooms full of or replete with material. We seem not able, I'm curious to know what the situation is with the archive's ability to storage our rare goods and valuables at the archives in Los Angeles, because otherwise we are throwing away assets by putting them into incompetent storage facilities and so forth. I'm very concerned with the waste that's going on at WBAI. I want to know if there's some kind of a deal we could make even with the archives so that the archives would take, you know, take the value of our now endangered intellectual property and see if there was some kind of way we could make amends that way, that we could supply the archives with critical materials.
I think I can address that a bit, only because that came up in some of the conversations we had on the Finance Committee with Brian. So if it's okay, I'll just tell you the way those conversations went. And obviously more is going to have to happen. I mean, you know, it can't be solved on this phone call. One of the things that is going on with the archives is, and this has to do with the KPFK building and the space available, is there's starting to be a weight issue with the amount of stuff that is in the archives, because we're archiving stuff since 1949, and it is on the second floor of the KPFK building, and there are apparently some weight issues happening with the top of the building being heavier than the bottom of the building that are sort of have to be dealt with. So the archives has been undergoing some process of trying to get some stuff out of the facilities into storage. So if anything, they have less space, not more space to work with, because we do not want them to crush the building and cause the second floor to fall into the first floor because they have so much stuff. So what I would say is I think that's distinctly possible, but it would take the form of the archives arranging for some sort of outside storage. In other words, just dumping more stuff into the archives facility at this point in time.
Is
not happening.
In the budget? Is the storage facility in the budget?
The storage that they're paying for the stuff that they're storing is in the budget, yes.
But not
if there's more stuff that needs to be stored.
Yeah.
Then we would have to talk about sort of how to do that and how much it would cost and where the money would come from. But I think having it done under the auspices or the supervision of the archives makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Right?
John, keep the stack, please.
Okay. All right. So that's,
John,
yeah, so that's kind of that.
Yes. Hello?
John, I heard you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that in talking with Brian, I think that some of the problems that Tracy outlined have been solved, as she indicated, in terms of having off-site storage facilities. It would be something that would be very helpful to the archives and really to the future of this whole building if we could find a more permanent solution, and maybe working in collaboration with the other stations would be a good way to go. So I think that we need, as a board, to look into ways of working together to make this happen.
All right, thank you so much. Are there any additional questions or comments?
Oh, is there any follow-up on a deal being made with the archives? I mean, I do think it's a collaborative event with all the stations in the archives, because we are building up material at a, you know, alarming rate, but yet our future is in those, you know, important materials.
Well, if it helps, I'm happy to open up the conversation with Brian about what we can do that doesn't look like putting more stuff in the archives, which at this point is going to make him scream, but, you know, what are the other structures that we can look at? Sure, I'll start up that conversation.
Richard, please, and then Manager. Yes, Richard?
Okay, I would like to move approval of the FY13/14 budget for the Pacifica Radio Archives.
This is Teresa, I second that.
Okay, there's a second.
So any objections to that?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Okay, I think properly that means that Robert, yeah, that Richard needs to call the roll, I think.
Absolutely.
Is the way to do that. Yeah.
Richard, please call the roll.
Okay. Deborah Seeker. Can you hear me, Brian Rosenberg?
Yes.
Wilkinson? Oh, she's excused. Diaz? King? Norman?
Abstain.
Thank you. Stitt? Brazan? Comsho?
Yes.
Medina? Oh, thank you. Medina? Reese? Reese?
Yes.
Thank you. Alan?
Alan says yes. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Thank you. Apollinar? Henschel? Yuzel, yes. Burden?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts? Saba?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Thank you. Madam Chair, it's 901.
Thank you. So the budgets are approved. Thank you so much, Richard. We'll now move on to the next.
No.
There's more budgets. That was just the archive budget.
My apology. My apology. Right.
Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order. The only two people I have that were down for excused absences were Wilkinson and Brazan. Is that correct? We need to have that approved.
I move that we approve the two excused absences.
Could you guys not do this in the middle of the?
we got to clean up this thing here.
Is there a second to that, Carolyn? Any objections?
Yes, there's a second.
There's a second, all right. So is there any objections to this?
No.
All right, so it's approved.
Thank you.
My apology, Tracy, please go on. So we have 10 minutes for this, so go ahead on the next budget.
Okay. So that brings us to the National Office Budget. The National Office Budget was prepared by the EDA and the CFO and brought to the National Finance Committee and is now in front of you. So some of the salient characteristics of this budget is it's generating $730,000 in direct income out of the National Office, and that includes National Office mail fund drives, affiliates income in the amount of $237,000, and SCA income of $297,000 for a grand total of $730,000. In addition, each of the stations provided a shared expenses budget based on their income projections, and those amounts together add up to $1.6 million from a total of all five stations. Of course, WBAI is projecting significantly lower revenues based on their new operating and staff structure. The other stations are generally in line with where they've been in previous years. For a total National Office budget of $2,348,000. The expenses are as follows. Salaries and related expenses of $787,000, which generally corresponds with the direct income, and in this case it does. Board expenses of $110,000. Administrative expenses of $598,000. And programming expenses, which of course include the Democracy Now! Contract of $781,000, and development expenses of $62,000, for a grand total of $2,340,000. in expenses. There's a couple of notes probably to put out. One is that on the salary and related expenses figures, which is that the use of temporary consultants, which we did some of in 2012 and 2013, is expected to be greatly reduced. Therefore, the health insurance expenses for national office staff are expected to be a little bit higher because they will be permanent hires with benefits instead of being temporary hires without benefits. The administrative expenses are dropping dramatically, and in that category primarily, we would be looking at a significant decrease in consultant fees and hopefully in legal expenses, which seem to be trending downwards, which is good news. Mm-hmm. There are two national board meetings scheduled. One is upcoming in February, and there is also one scheduled for the summer fall of 2014. Let's see, what else? And we are expecting the national office to bear approximately $40,000 in LSB election expenses in 2014, which will be largely payments due to the national election supervisor for the 2014.
How much can you repeat
election? The amount that's budgeted for 2014 fiscal year is $37,000. That job will continue past the September 30th end of the fiscal year, but there will be some additional expenses into FY 2015 because we normally certify elections in October. So there's some spillover on the salary since the fiscal year ends September 30th. Programming expenses are expected to be consistent. It is possible that there will be some contractual changes in our ongoing contracts, but we don't know that at this point. And development expenses will probably be fairly consistent with the idea that we hope to jumpstart a little bit more national fundraising. Not a lot, just a little. So that's pretty much it, and I'll take questions.
Tony?
All right, thank you, Tracy.
I'm Tony, okay?
Yeah, as I understand it, aren't there going to be two new positions added to the national office? Or I'm confused on that. Were there going to be two new positions added full-time?
Not budgeted. There is a hope that some human resources staffing and some development staffing can be added, and that is pending a reduction in our programming obligations. In other words, if our contractual arrangements stay consistent for the duration of the 2014 fiscal year, then there's no money for extra positions. If we are able to free up some additional revenue, then it's been stated that we do intend to add staffing in the areas of human resources and development, but that is not budgeted at this time because we can't assume.
Was there
not to that effect in the left-hand side of the budget, but they are not budgeted positions for FY 2014.
I remember a discussion on National Program Directive. Was that proposed in the budget?
The national office intends to add staffing in the areas of human resources, development, and program coordination in 2014 pending contractual negotiations. Yeah, that's also an area if we were able to free up some money. But we can't assume that, so we budgeted no additions in the salaries category for 2014. Because you can't budget on a maybe.
So, are there any other questions, comments? Is there a motion to approve the budget?
I have comments on the budget.
I'm sorry, Tony?
I had some comments on the budget. One was just
a
question.
Please. Go ahead, make a comment.
Mike, I'm a little confused. I'm still concerned about even though as I understand you're saying that these new positions are not budgeted, but they can be added, I really don't think that this organization is in a position to add any new positions to that effect.
Right, that's why they're not budgeted, Tony.
But you leave open end, there's a question mark that's saying that if we get funds and where it come from, maybe we'll add it. That causes me some reservations. It opens up the door that maybe it could happen if we find money here or there. That's what I have reservations about.
Summer to the staff.
Positions are either budgeted or they're not budgeted. The answer to the question is that they're not budgeted. Go ahead,
well,
Summer.
Go ahead, Summer.
Actually, I hadn't finished my comments before I was interrupted.
Okay, Tony, go ahead.
My reference was, you don't have to, you can authorize a position without having money for it. I'm concerned about we're authorizing these positions, even though it's not, as Tracy says, not budgeted. But we still authorize it if money comes down the pike, and that's what worries me.
Go ahead, Summer.
All right, thank you. Summer, go ahead.
Sure. Well, having spent a good long stretch on the National Finance Committee the night we were approving this budget, I have to say, as the executive director, I find it appalling that the board of directors doesn't think human resources is a necessary position for a $12 to $14 million a year organization with hundreds of employees. And I think that decision-making on the part of the board has been reflected under prior administrations by litigation and the fact that continuously human resources are not seen as a necessary expenditure. My recollection of this budget, I just think it's very problematic organization like that. The board does not recognize that having one human resources position staffed in an organization of this size and with this number of employees is insane on some levels, and that the fact that we have been successful in avoiding litigation with me doing the human resources with consultation here and there is something, but it really is not, in my opinion, good decision making not to recognize that as a vital position, which should be funded long before things like, you know, whether it's board elections or any number of other things, but it's simply a required element of conducting business. What I recall was left in my budget to work with was $24,000 for development in general, meaning I could spend it, you know, paying somebody to help a little bit here, doing a little bit there. Not as a position, but a very small amount of money over the course of the year. And that the human resources position and anything to do with programming were contingent specifically on how successful the negotiations with Democracy Now! Were at reducing the overall cost of that contract. So I would say that, yes, they authorized that if indeed I am successful in bringing it down to a certain level, then indeed I can go ahead and hire someone for human resources, and then presumptively, if there were enough money to do so, that we could also focus something on programming, which again, as a broadcast entity, to have absolutely no one at the national level engaged with our only product, which is programming, is also something of a mystery to me as to why that would not be important to the organizations who want to put a qualified individual into focusing on our one and only product. But that's how it was left, is that those two positions, HR and programming, are contingent upon the success negotiations on that contract. If I'm successful, that yes, I can go ahead and hire those positions as funding allows. And for development, that I can use a very small portion of it in the meantime to attempt to develop something so we can actually make more money and be a functional organization and have things like human resources funded. I'm done.
Thank you, Selma.
Teresa,
I need to tell everyone that we have now gone past the 10 minutes allotted for this budget. So
I
need to have some more time.
Also, I want to be on stack.
How much time do we want to extend this?
10 minutes.
Let's extend for five. I don't think it will take too long to resolve these additional questions, and we have plenty else on the agenda.
Extend for 5 minutes?
Extend to 5 minutes.
Are there any objections? All right, so we have Manjay. Teresa, did you have a question?
Yes, I do have
a question.
Did I hear
you first? Okay, Teresa and then Manjay.
I just want to clarify, Summer. We did have a program director, and then financial issues came up, and we ended the position. And I think that's really a sad thing to have a person, you know, move, and we think we have a full, they think they have a full-time position and then cut it. So I'm still not quite sure whether you're saying we would contract these things out indefinitely. I mean, I would think we would for sure not want to suggest that we would hire someone full-time until we were sure that we were really on sound financial ground. So am I confused? Are you thinking of contracting development and programming, or are you thinking of hiring someone?
Sure.
Descending orders of priority, I am already contracting for development because that's why I fought so hard to keep something in the development budget. Otherwise, we could never progress and get to a point where we're not simply reliant on air fundraising. So I'm already using someone on a contract basis like piecework. I'm paying you to do this specific task. I'm not paying anybody to do programming. Human resources, in my opinion, the far precedence over. The only reason I'm spending anything on development is because we need to bring money in and then we can afford to pay for the other things that we need. But human resources is the place where that would go next. Whether used on a contract basis or actually hiring someone would depend on how much of a budget appears to be available to fund that position. Programming will come last after human resources are met. So I'm nowhere near hiring anybody to do that, whether on a contract basis or hiring. I would prefer to hire someone, and this is the reason why. It's because with all these positions that aren't funded, again, I'm the person who has to pitch in the gaps, and it's not efficient, and it's not the right way to run a media outlet. When we do something like whether it's election coverage last year or debate, any type of national broadcast for the five stations has to be hooked together and the affiliates take a feed. As soon as it becomes more complicated than running one show, but actually requires coordination, I end up having to be right in the middle of the thing to make sure it goes off. Down to technical details and work, you know, getting producers, it handicaps us from being able to even address things like doing a national day of fun drive because you need someone to coordinate the details. That's what producers do. And for anything far reaching and more visionary, like improving our programming, actually looking at demographics and audience statistics and listenership, anything of that nature definitely requires someone to focus in on. But even on the more, much more limited basis, coordinating some specials and having the stations work together, it would be very helpful to have a person who is dedicated to again, product, to the programming, to what we hear on air and how well we work together. And consequently, that person would also be involved potentially, could work with someone potentially, in terms of fund drop coordination, things that have been talked about before on the board and even passed by the board. But
I'm sorry. Pardon me. I'm just confused. I just asked whether you were going to hire someone full-time or whether it was going to be a contract.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Teresa, is human resources trumps everything else. Development, we're just doing a little bit. And programming is far down the road after, like, if we actually have enough money to address that position, I think.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to Manajay's question. Manajay?
Yes, Summer. I'm sorry. I was muted. My question is that we have, there are three areas that we need that are important and they have priority in terms of human resources and programming and development. Human resources, my question about human resources is that you have been talking to human resource people all the time. If you look at the budget that you have expended in talking to consultants, which usually consultants are much more expensive than having somebody hired, is it true that basically if we can use the same money that you have been using for consultants and you are going to continue to use it if you have it on the budget or not, because it comes up and you have been consulting with these people. Is it more expensive to do it the way we have been doing it, you know, on consultancy basis, or to having somebody, at least for part-time, to talk with them on retainer or something? I don't know. If that's one question, in terms of development, what you are saying is that if we look at it as one of the most important things that we do in terms of funding, you know, development of, you know, development in terms of financial development and grant writing and everything, how could you propose if this board was a different board? Because you say, I cannot imagine that the board would not approve of something, you know, like...
Monica, your time is up.
Yes, but can I finish? But how would you propose that we change the way we are thinking about the budget? If you are questioning the board for not doing what it's supposed to do, but what is your proposal about how to go about, you know, budgeting development? I think this is important to me because I don't understand. If we don't have money, we don't have money. But how would you cut, or what would you do to change this? Thanks.
Sure. So let me quickly address the first issue you raised, which is human resources consulting. And if everyone could mute, please, there's a lot of buzz on the line. It's compound one. We have a consulting firm through our insurance. It's limited in its scope. Specifically, it does not address union issues. 4 out of our 5 shops are union shops, which means as soon as I'm dealing with an HR issue that goes beyond the management level, they're not able to help in terms of looking at our union contracts and things like that. So they're helpful when dealing with management level staff and in general, but it's limited. Under our current structure, and this is what I feel a trap that my predecessor fell into because of these type of issues, is that if you do not plan ahead for necessary expenditures to run a business properly, you'll end up spending the money somewhere else because you didn't do that. So in our case, we haven't had a human resources director in the last 3 or 4 years, and prior to my tenure, there was of employment litigation. So it's not cost effective. And what happens when you need advice is you end up having to talk to an attorney. And I have kept legal bills down to a bare minimum the entire time I've been in this position. But it is quite easy for someone in this position to run up significant legal bills seeking advice because you don't have a human resources professional on staff who's well versed in that area of law. So at the moment, you know, our general counsel also does employment law, so I can speak to him, but I'm in the same place of I don't want to run up bills. So, yes, if one had to speak to an attorney much more frequently, it would become much more expensive than hiring a human resources professional. We did have a consultant from that firm on site during last year, a portion of last year, and that was extremely helpful to us, and we were able to contain the costs, but, in fact, she had to go somewhere else where she could take a full-time job. So,
your time is up.
So anyway, yes, it's either more expensive or inadequate to not simply decide to pay for the position because you need it in a company this size. And I can't answer the other question, I guess, Monica, right now, but I'm happy to talk with you about it.
I need to tell everyone we have gone over the 5-minute extension, so I just wanted to know
can we have 5 minutes? Because how can we vote on the budget that we have this very crucial, you know, I don't know how we are going to discuss to approve of this. Is there anything to cut from this and put some of these important things in it? I don't know. Thanks.
So is that a motion to extend further? Is that what you're saying, Monica?
Yes.
Move that we extend for 5 more minutes, and then we get
up. Extend for 5 more minutes. All right. So... we'll extend for 5 more minutes if there are no objections. All right, so additional questions, comments, please. Manajay, is that you? You have an additional question, or you wanted to...
No, I just wanted to follow up on this. What would you, Summer, at this point, what would you suggest in this upcoming budget for us to do to come in? For example, development is so crucial, especially, for example, we are dealing with BAI. development is incredibly crucial. We have a person who was hired there as a development person that we have to hire somebody else to do development work. But this doesn't make any sense. So what are we going to do in this budget that will fulfill the role of a development and human resources? So you have something, you are able to do your work, and we get, and the institution takes more out of it. Because, you know, to me, it's just so mind-boggling. What is your suggestion? How can we get justice or amend whatever we can do to get the work done? Can we, for example, is it possible to take the development person from BAI and put the money that we pay that person, put it for development, the national development, so that a capable, a qualified person can do that? I don't know. I'm puzzled. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. All right, as quickly as I can, our structural problem is the two units that are not able to contribute to the shared services. If they were able to contribute to the shared services, as well as always covering their own obligations, such as health insurance, the national office would be in an entirely different position, and we could fund a development director, human resources, and programming, and it wouldn't even be an issue. I had proposed that we consider that since we had not renewed the contract, which is so very large, last year, that we calculate our obligation at a lower rate, and since this is a budget, and therefore calculate in the salaries of a development director, a human resources director, and at least some part of a program director. That is not what the Finance Committee chose to do. So I feel that much of what we do in terms of financial decision-making is not based upon reality. We calculate in central services or shared payments from stations that historically have not made these payments in years. We have stations, the same stations, that can't pay their own health care benefits, but it took until this past year to make painful but necessary cuts to address that. So I feel we're in a difficult situation in that the divisional budgets have been passed based on a presumption that they will pay a certain portion of money that the national office will then have to work with. And in reality, we know that's not the case. We're also working with a debt on a contract which is extremely large that we are also unable to pay, and we're presuming that we're paying some portion of that in this budget. What I really want from the board is, yes, the permission, the funding, the passage of the approval to hire a development director, a human resources director, and a program director, those three positions. I would be happy if those were passed with the proviso that we have the funding to pay for it. And I think that's kind of what this budget did, is it said the money's not really there, but if you're successful in negotiating and can find the money, then you have our permission to hire these people. In the meantime, I kept that very tiny amount of money in the budget, I think it was $24,000, for development that I'm allowed to spend in a piecemeal fashion. It's not the same as hiring a development director, but it does allow to enter into some contractual obligations for some work to be done, and hopefully we make more money and plow it back in. But, I mean, the adage that you have to spend money to make money, that's certainly true about this sort of thing. So I would like the budget passed. I would have liked it better.
Some of your time is up.
I would like it better if the positions were in the budget as approved positions.
Thank you for the staff,
money to fund them is one thing. If we don't have the money, it's entirely different. So I'm not in conflict with the budget in front of us. All right. Thank you.
Tracy, go ahead.
Okay. There's a couple of things here that need to be said. The first is that the National Finance Committee has in the past spent an inordinate amount of time talking about the inconsistent, at best, payment of shared services from both East Coast stations. The reality is that a couple of years ago we tried to budget in a reduced rate for WBAI because we understood that they were not going to pay at 1%. And that was not a popular decision with the PNB, and it was not a popular decision with the other stations. Basically, financial sanity involves rectifying that situation one way or the other. We cannot have a financial structure based on sharing expenses if we don't share those expenses. So to structure a budget or a financial plan that basically doesn't have any legs, that basically doesn't work, because the only way that I could account for non-payment of shared services by D.C. and New York is to make several hundred thousand dollars of cuts in this national office budget. And that's not staff that we've added, that's staff that we already have. And that's expenses that we already have and that are not going away. I mean, I can eliminate the audit. It's not possible. So the scenario has to be that we repair what's broken within our organization. In terms of extra positions, yes, there are structures, there are functions that are unfilled, that have been unfilled for a long time, and that need to be filled. We don't have the money under the current structure to staff those positions. They are not authorized in the budget. The only way that you authorize a position in the budget is you place that, the dollars to pay for that position in the budget. There is no other way to do it. Those dollars are not in the budget, and those positions are not authorized. A statement that we need more HR staffing and we need more development staffing and we need more programming staffing is uncontroversial, accepted by not only this board, but pretty much every other PNB that has existed for the past 4 to 5 years, and is a fact. So I think we're sort of, to some degree, chasing after chimeras, when the reality is that we will fill future needs when we have the money to do so, and not before. And what this budget does is it allocates the income that we actually have.
All right, thank you. So do we have a motion to approve the budget, I'm sorry?
Yes, you do.
Motion from Tracy, is there a second?
This is Janice, I second.
And seconded, are there any objections?
One abstention.
One abstention. Mr. Secretary, would you please call the vote, the names, the roll. Richard, are you there? Hello? Richard? Mr. Secretary?
Okay, Heather, it sounds like he fell off the phone, so maybe you can go ahead and call the roll or ask someone else to do it.
I will call the roll. Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Madam Chair, this is Teresa. Would you like me to call the roll for you?
Oh, that would be wonderful, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, all right. Do you want me to call the names of the people that are not on the call, or just the ones
yes.
that are here?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm calling the people that are not on the call also.
Yes,
okay. Edwards-Tiekert? Okay, no response. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Siegel is not on. Wilkinson is excused, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay. Diaz, not here. Diaz? Don't hear him. Lizette King? No response. Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Stitt, I believe, is not here. Stitt? No response. Brazan is excused. Crumshow?
Yes.
Thank you, yes. Medina is not here. Medina? No response. Reese?
I'll abstain on my own budget. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Alan says yes. Apollinar is not here, I believe. Apollinar? No response. Henschel? No response. Uzel? Uzel, I can't hear you. Can't hear. Burden?
I'm going to abstain, too. Thank you.
All right. Coleman?
Pass.
Pass. Roberts? Robert, I believe, is not here. Sabah?
Yes.
Thank you, Sabah. Heather Gray?
Well, I'm chairing. Let's go to the next, to Janice.
That's fine. Janice Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm going back to any passes. Coleman?
Oh, boy. I'm going to abstain.
Hello?
Okay. Coleman abstains. Richard Uzel? Do you say yes to the national office budget?
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh, I came back. Okay, good.
Okay, Richard, you're taking. Okay, Richard.
I've been able to hear you. I guess I've been muted. I couldn't get back on.
Okay.
Richard, How did Burden vote?
Burden said abstain, and Coleman said abstain. Sabah said yes. Heather Gray, do you want to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay, Heather Gray votes yes. Okay, so we have...
She's chairing.
Well, she can vote if she wants.
I'll take over on the vote, please. Thank you.
I see seven
yeses. Six. Okay, that's seven yeses, zero noes, and four abstentions.